special governance committee scheduled for 17th June 2015. And with that opening, I would like to acknowledge respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Kariyarra people, their leaders past, present and future, who have and will continue to contribute to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. So welcome. And welcome to you, Milton and Graham. To the meeting today. I believe you are a late presentation, so I will advise of that when we come to item 10. Item 3, recording of attendance. As listed below, with apologies from Councillor Julie Hunt, who is currently on approved leave of absence. And Lorraine Butson is a late apology. Councillor Lorraine Butson, thank you. Right. Approved leave of absence, there is nil for this meeting. Item 4, response to previous questions, there were nil. Item 5, public time. Just an important note that this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland local law on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so, and I have received no request on that basis. So, 5.1, public question time. I declare public question time open at 1:05. Are there any public questions? Nil noted, so I will close public question time at 1:05. Public statement time. Are there any public, I declare public statement time open at 1:06, and are there any public questions? No public questions. I declare public question statement time closed at 1:06. Item 6, questions from members without notice. Madam Mayor.
I've just got some questions that flowed on from the information that was asked at the last meeting. I don't see it being here, but I'm happy if I can ask them when we go through this.
Sure. So we'll wait for that item to be brought up.
Yeah.
Cool. Councillor De Cash.
Nothing, Madam Chair.
Phil.
No, just probably ask some questions in the course of the presentation.
Is there any other questions from officers? All right. No. So,
sure, any questions from members? We have another elected member in the room, and we have an apology of the committee. Perhaps you should invite your other elected member to.
If they wish to. If they wish to. George is here.
George is here as a standing replacement for Lorraine. Mm. So there is no other than Julie Hunt being on absence.
No.
So I'll throw the question out to Councillor Melville. So Councillor Melville, may I have your attention?
Sorry.
Given that there is an apology from Councillor Butson, we were wondering if you might like to sit at the table in her place.
Oh, no worry.
Thank you. We'll invite you to the table and note that for that councillor.
But just note that he probably hasn't read the agenda.
Yes. So he can declare that when we talk about item 7. So we'll note that Councillor Melville will attend in the absence of Councillor Butson. Noting that he will not have had time
after item 7.
Yes. Okay, members on the table, item 7. Declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. May I have a show of hands? Thank you. Let the record reflect 4-0. And we welcome Councillor Melville to the table. Item 8, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. There are nil. Item 9, announcements by presiding members without discussion. There is nil. And item 10, we will move on to petitions, deputations, presentations and submissions. And today we have Graham Hall, the Manager of Rec Facilities and Services, who will be giving us a presentation. So Graham, I'll throw on to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just by way of following on from the last meeting discussions that were had, there were a couple of recommendations on the report that were made, not the least of which was obviously the noting of the risk assessment report and the noting of the draft budget. There were also at the adjourned meeting a number of questions that were asked. My intention today is to hopefully provide those around the table, everyone around the table, with a direction and some understanding of where we see we're at with all of that information, and hopefully increase and add to the conversation as we move into the item. So with regards to the draft risk assessment, that was prepared by the officers in consultation with the YMCA staff. In the document that you received, there were six potential areas that we discussed with the YMCA and may be potential areas of variation. We've obviously subsequently received correspondence from the YMCA confirming that there were three areas that they would seek a variation from the town with. And those are listed. They were listed in the correspondence that was received undercover at the last meeting. And basically, that information has been provided to the executive leadership team and will be considered. We were anticipating that would be considered by council as part of a separate report in July. Obviously, there are financial implications to the town. With regards to the budget presented as part of the agenda last week obviously showed an operational deficit of $2,375,673. That is in itself an increase of $101,000 on the tender accepted operational deficit for the 15-16 financial year of $2.2 million. So, based on the information and the discussions around the Audit and the Audit and Risk and Governance Committee, again, we would envisage that the budget would be presented with the business plan to the July Council meeting as having been fully considered and assessed and hopefully come forward with some strong recommendations. With regards to the business plan, those around the table who were in attendance last week would have received a copy of that undercover. We have had the opportunity to make some assessment of that and certainly commend the YMCA. I think the document is heading in the right direction, and our review of that would be that there are some omissions that are easily rectified and through further discussion and some negotiations. The KPIs vary a little bit from what were originally endorsed by the council and therefore would require a council decision to amend, but generally as a rule there's clear understanding what the YMCA are trying to achieve through those KPIs. There is also an appreciation of the fact that there has been significant change in circumstances at the facilities since it's about 2011 when we first looked at that. The lack of a cleaning schedule within the document is a small concern, and the maintenance schedule is a little bit abbreviated on previous documents, and we have, having spent a fair bit of time working with the YMCA in their original business plan document, I know that the information from there came from the service manuals that were provided by the construction process. So there would be some discussions we had on that. As I said, generally as a rule, the document is commended, and certainly we would see that as heading in the right direction and would be part of those discussions going forward as part of the report to the July Council meeting.
Sure, if I may interrupt.
Yep.
If any committee members have any questions while the presentation, please do stop.
Happy for that, Madam Chair.
That's okay with you.
Graham,
you mentioned there's no cleaning schedule, but in all the budgets there reflects an item that shows a budgeted amount for cleaning for all facilities. So what do you mean?
It certainly does in the budget. It's in the business plan, and it's an understanding of what that means with regards to the regularity of cleans, and that particularly comes to things like your high cleans. Are we doing those annually, quarterly? Those, you know, the windows, things like that. That is not regular. So it's just a case of having it as a part of a business plan. One would expect that to be detailed in that,
okay.
And so that we have a clear understanding. And as I said, it's not so much about your regular toilets that are daily. It's more about your high cleans, your quarterly, 6 monthly type cleans that we would envisage that would be sort of information in the plan.
So if we were to consider what you've just mentioned, these amounts attributed to the cleaning are nowhere near sufficient especially what we would consider the cluster high cleans.
I'm not in a position to assess because there's no information in there, and that would be certainly what I would like to work with the YMCA. As I said, I think the document is heading very much in the right direction. I think it's sound. There would be some of those discussions that I think as a town we'd like to have.
Cool. Madam Chair, we have someone from the YMCA. Would they like to add anything?
Sure. I'd invite Milton, if you'd like to make any comments on that question.
With regards to the cleaning schedule is consistent with the current year's basic cleaning schedule, as well as the invoicing that we've received from the contractors. So there is nothing in the budget which is projected to be as a great increase compared to what was happening this year.
So just to clarify, you're saying that that budgeted amount includes the high cleans that the officers talked about?
Correct, yes.
Thank you.
And as I said, it wasn't the reflection that it wasn't right. It was just a case of making that observation and making sure we had a clear documentation that we had that.
Cool. Thank you.
Following the part of the last meeting, there were a number of questions, and just clarifying those, so people, I will ask each of these questions individually, or certainly as part of the presentation. There were the questions that were asked at last committee. Obviously, there's a number of questions with regards to Wave Rider, some recommendations as to some possible long-term operation, or some options about the life of the Wave Rider. The committee members have been provided with a copy of the contract, and I have worked with Milton, and I do thank Milton for the work that he's done over the last few days and over the weekend to assist providing information with regards to the analysis of the $1 entry, and also the closures and some budget information. So I will go through those individually.
Sorry, Graham. So the contract was emailed out last Wednesday?
I believe so.
Friday.
It certainly went from me.
Have you looked at it, Bill?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
One of the questions that had been asked was particularly about the Wave Rider availability, and I think, and again, I thank Milton for this table. I think it very clearly shows us, and Milton, please feel free to talk on anything here, but it shows us how the life of the Wave Rider as its usage has been available to us. You can see from July 13, the areas of blue are when the attraction was faulty and therefore not operable at all. The areas of yellow are areas where it probably was operational, but that's probably a decreased capacity. And I think one of the issues that that Milton and his team have had is the fact that sometimes the water pressure particularly and the plant's not able to be strong enough to get an adult, someone of my sort of stature, but it's been all right with young kids, so it has been available. That provides a bit of an overview. One of the things
can I just clarify, so the blue is faulty and mainly not operable, or?
Not operable.
So what would be the difference between blue and yellow?
Operational in part, so it's probably operating at sort of like half power, and has been available. So I think Milton, your team have been able to get, like kids have been able to use it, but it's not, the power wasn't strong enough to sort of support someone like you and I.
Sorry?
Sorry, Mel.
Longboard?
And then the white obviously is where it's been fully usable. Just going through the area in...
I'm saying August the 10th was a special day. Right in the middle of the big blue block.
So what you see is from July 2014 to October 14, the attraction was faulty for a long period of time, a total of 119 days. From November 2014 to May 2015, that's a possible potential 212 days and has been available for, sort of not available for 49 days. We've had a 23% unavailability through that time. So that gives you some indication. Some of the areas of problem have been the large period in July 2013. There was a problem with the mat, and I certainly recall that. The period October 13, there was a major pump problem, and that continued that period. In December 13, there was also a pump problem. The pumps were operational at around that February 14 to May 14. The pumps were partly operational, and therefore it was operating, but not to a high level. And then, unfortunately, between July 14 and October 14, Milton's been unable to determine from the information, and I know he's been working tirelessly to try and find what was the problem in that period. Subsequently, during the 2015, it's been mainly some problems with the drives and and some belts, and there's been a broken impeller shaft on the pump. So there's been some mixed problems, as you can see through the course of the time that we've had the thing in play.
So can I, two questions. The first one is, so the areas of inactive, so that doesn't include any staffing issues, it's only talking about mechanical issues?
Mechanical
so
issues,
So there's
yes.
no staffing issues in there? And doesn't this contradict the advice we were given by the supplier? There's a comment in the document that says that the machine has been operable
for this count for this year. So since they commenced in July 14, and certainly does that's certainly the advice I received. Yeah.
So I've got a question. Is it working now? Is it at 100%?
No. Essentially, if to put the full power onto the machine, it trips out the entire centre.
So when did that start?
That started around mid-May.
So how come it's not on the thing?
That document was actually forwarded through to me at the start of May, and then from there I've forwarded that one onto Graham, and then I've simply updated that as it rolls on.
So really, all of May should be blue.
Pretty much got from the, by the looks of it, the 20th of May is when that first reporting of power tripping out.
So it worked for a week. So from the 8th of or 9th of May, 9th of May it's worked for a week and then it popped out again.
Correct.
On the 20th.
So the question is that, is that the first time that power overload has occurred in its life at the site?
That I'm aware of, yes. However, that may be reflective in the Feb 14 to June 14 yellow period as well. The only information I've got on that is essentially that they weren't getting enough power due to potential pump problems or shafts within pumps.
So is it possible that site has insufficient power to be drawn for all of the operating equipment on site? Is that a possibility? That if that's working at full capacity, then the site's not providing enough power to for all of its equipment to draw on?
I'm not an electrician, but certainly there was a lot of work, and there was a large portion of this project was the power upgrade of the power to the site. So I would be surprised. I'm not saying that's not the case, but certainly there was a whole new board brought onto this site. So and there was an assessment done. So I would be surprised if that was
internally or externally, Grant.
It was brought onto the site. So there's a whole new board down as part of that plant room, and then the whole internals. The plant and equipment was all brand new. So I need to get some technical advice because I'm not an electrician, but certainly it was a considerable and sizable portion of the project. And certainly was a major part of some of the delays. I know that because I've been doing some of the other work, and I know there was a lot of time spent on that, and it was actually part of the delay.
So can we obtain that information? I think
it'd
be good to know that.
Yep.
I guess, Madam Chair, I like this. It's very simple and good, but it'd be nice to know when things were, like a asterisk or something, when things were reported and when people came on site and fixed different things and how long that took. It'd be good to show then the maintenance people how does this correlate with their stuff as well. So I think we've got half the picture here.
Madam Chair, just
yes.
Another question.
Yeah.
Obviously being, so you look after YMCA at a regional
correct,
area.
Yes,
so is this, so the problems that we're encountering here, are they being encountered on other sites as well, or is it?
In terms of a wave rider facility?
Yeah, the wave rider facility.
It's the only one. We did have one, when I worked with the City of Kalgoorlie Boulder, we did have a flow rider facility, which is a similar sort of thing. That did present a lot of issues.
So there's no wave rider at Karratha or anything?
No, it's the only second one in Australia built, just
Just moving ahead.
There's one in the state.
Okay. So, give
no
me some...
So,
with
so
regards to the maintenance costs...
Sorry, Grant Milton, you're comfortable with the committee's request that we indicate on your
yes.
chart, which is really good. So to dovetail that into
maintenance. Madam Chair, Milton and I will have to work through that and update that information. As I said, it was an excellent visual document to bring through, and it certainly shows.
Yep.
The YMCA entered into a quarterly service agreement with Swimplex, the provider of the wave rider, and that commenced in July 2014 and has been in place for the 2014-15 financial year. The maintenance cost of that service agreement is somewhere in the region of $20,000 per annum. Milton's been working this morning to try and clarify exactly what that figure would be, but off the top of my head, I know it's in that vicinity of $20,000, and we are working and we'll clarify that further. Looking at other service additional to the service agreement, we've been able to extract from the YMCA's information the work that has been done from a service level on the wave rider, and you can see from November 2013 through to March 2015 some $13,000 has been expended, and that would have come out of the maintenance budget that is for the South Edmonton Centre.
Sorry, Graham, what was the second one?
Grease gun
and hose fuel for mower? What's the mower in
that's
the
Milton
wave too. Rider?
Okay, that essentially what I've done with that is cut and paste from our reports. So the source or the shop that they got the grease gun from, they also got the hose/fuel for the mower, and that was the single price that was put on the top of it. So the mower would be either a lawn mower or probably more likely the billy goat that they used to pick up the foliage from around the pool.
So these are costs for the wave rider. So the wave rider incurred the cost for the grease gun?
It'd be the grease gun, yes.
And the grease gun is $89.55, or is that including
the total fuel? That was the total cost for that invoice or for that item that was simply cut and paste in. In terms of breaking that down, I would need to find the receipt or the invoice for that.
Because it's not fair to attribute the hose and fuel for a mower for a wave rider.
Mm-hmm. You can't use it, the grass is growing inside it.
Well, unless it has a mower in it.
And Madam Mayor, I'm happy to attribute my expertise for your knowledge.
How much is a grease gun?
Discount that by 50%, Madam Mayor, and that would give you a rough approximation.
I could buy a grease gun for that?
Of what the grease gun would have cost you.
Thank you for that.
Did you? Can I ask a question? the wave rider has never worked since we put the blade thing in. Why isn't it all under still commissioning and maintenance from the people that put the blade thing in? Why are we paying still?
Milton has to, certainly the Swimplex are, as part of that service agreement, are doing a number of the warranty and upgrade works as part of their visits on a quarterly basis. Having learnt from this experience, they've also got one operation in Ryde, and that's from my understanding, there's some learnings that they've had from ours that they've implemented at Ryde that have worked, and they are transitioning to our wave rider. So I understand that there is a degree of that, and certainly my very limited conversations with Swimplex are that they're trying to make our particular piece of equipment more reliable.
Do I think following on from Councillor Cash's comments, has that chart of inoperability gone to Swimplex? Because I think, you know, picking up on Councillor Cash's comments, I think it was a comment that was raised, I think, at the last meeting about, you know, do we persevere? Unless they're going to provide us an appliance that actually works more than it doesn't work, then, you know, all it's doing is probably causing the YMCA and the town of Port Hedland, and perhaps the sponsor whose logo is on the side of it, some embarrassment. Mm. Wasn't it a $2.5 million exercise?
That's a spend somewhere. That was part of a design exercise.
So, you know, I think this is where we're getting to the point, which I think you're raising, Councillor Cash, was raised last week.
I think we've come past that point, which is why we're wanting these figures today, so that the committee can make recommendations around that piece of equipment indeed. I think it's important that Swimplex do have an understanding of that.
The downtime.
Just an extension of the comments made, do we have a recourse back to Swimplex, is it?
Swimplex. The initial warranty period went.
Which was for how long?
12 months. I think that...
But are these things have been ongoing since day dot?
Yeah.
So, surely... there must be some recourse that we can perhaps try and negotiate with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we are in some discussions with through our legal representation with regards to going back. It's actually a design and construct. So in actual fact, Swimplex was a subcontractor of Commercial Aquatics Australia, CAA, and we have got some correspondence that we've been working with regards to that, of which this is part of that process. So
Graham, just on that comment, just picking up on your comment about how they have had some design improvements, which we have been the guinea pig for, that they have improved on another location and bring them back to us, sort of suggests to me that there must be some consideration and cost factor as to the maintenance, given that there has been such. And I agree with Bill. I would suggest that when we purchased this, how did we purchase it? Whose instigation and whose commitment that such a piece of equipment would work in this environment or would work at all? Because there's got to be somebody that actually made the decision.
Yeah.
Whether we were sold on the product by something or whether, you know.
Or the sponsor perhaps encouraged us, so yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then that's the case. So but it'd be nice to get an understanding of that, because we need to highlight that to the sponsor, that to the equipment provider and the service team for that, and come to a decision on it.
Just on the discussion process, obviously I was here at that time, and there was a large representation that considered three products, and we actually went down and spent a day at CAA's office in Balcatta, and all of the three products came in and presented. So Flow Rider was one of those products. There was another surf product out of the United States, and the gentleman actually flew from the States and presented. And then obviously the Wave Rider product, which wasn't with Swimplex at the time, they've subsequently formed that alliance, was the third product that we actually considered. And there was all of the design team, sub consultants that were part of the project team, BHP were invited to be part of that process. They opted not to. There was the then director, the project manager, and myself from the town. So there was quite an extensive process, and also CAA actually went to Coffs Harbour and actually road tested the product over there. Unfortunately.
Just before we go any further, Madam Chair, I think I'm just mindful that we are in the midst of some litigation.
Mm.
And so I just perhaps think that perhaps we could reconvene on that topic in confidence, to have a bit more of a discussion about where we're up to on the litigation, rather than having this discussion in a public meeting.
So we can do that. We don't need to discuss that.
All right. So
I guess, Madam Chair, I'm keen to understand what's the pool blaster max based and freight on May 2014?
Officer?
My understanding of that is that it is a part integral to the wave rider facility itself. So it could be like a water accelerator or something that comes out of it. To be honest, I'm not 100%. The discussion that I had with the manager of the South Headland Aquatic Centre went through and identified those as a maintenance item attributable to that wave rider.
Just because 7 months later, in December 2014, there's the Pool Blaster Max Spacer again, but a much different price differential. So I was wondering what occurred there to last only 7 months and have significant greater spend. And I guess with the June 2014, the Portacell chlorine. So is this chlorine that's special chlorine that's only used in the Wave Rider?
Again, I would only be guessing. It was one of the things I went through with the manager of the South Headland Aquatic Centre, and she identified that as being a maintenance item.
So I don't feel confident in this table, and not disrespecting anyone who's put work into this table, but I'd like to put it to Swimplex or whoever's doing the maintenance. Does that match what they've been doing in terms of their maintenance outlay? Because I think there's some generosity within that table.
So we can take a point on to clarify the actual costs incurred in the maintenance.
So run this by Simplex so that we can get a true both sides of the story.
There are some other works that were individually identified within the information forwarded to me, and I believe that's in the region of about $1,300, but they were not individually identified. So you can see there's some work that's happened there. One of the questions that was asked, going back to the original questions, was some ideas or thoughts with regards to the long-term options. Chris and I have had some discussions. And one of those things to consider, and we're just putting some points out there, that there are possibly some courses of action and that may be considered. Decommissioning the Wave Rider and amend the YMCA business plan accordingly and budgets so that and consider an alternative attraction. So effectively, I think that's one that's been, that's nothing new to around the table. Request. That Swimplex replaced the current machine with an upgraded model was obviously.
Have they offered that?
They haven't offered that.
What is the price associated with that?
I'm not sure. I would suggest that would have been at their expense. I would think that they would replace. It would be a replacement for one that works. But that's just. I wouldn't be suggesting that would be an outlay in the first instance. My thinking when I put these thoughts together was. Hey, look, this has not worked. I think you need to go back and start again and provide us one that does.
But I think that's where, it's all well and good to put that as an option, but, if it's not even been flagged with them and they just say you're dreaming and you're going to have to pay, it's not even a realistic option.
As I said, it was put up for discussion.
Director, you had something to say?
Well, I just through the chair, these are options to consider. Obviously, there's four current options there. Once we get given a direction that would be a preferred option, we would definitely explore what would be required. And as the CEO's pointed out, in regards to replacement, that's something that obviously could be considered under the legal action at the moment as well. So the outcome of that could determine that being an outcome of successful legal action.
Okay. That's okay. Any questions around any of those, committee?
Through the chair, when do we get to vote on those options, or is that?
Oh, we won't. We might finish the presentation, and then we might get it go into confidence and get an update on the legalities, and then come back into. Yep.
So, as indicated, the question was raised with regards to the impact of the entry fee. Just to walk you through. It's interesting, in during this process, the attendances have increased significantly, as you'll see. I will note that the just on 4,000 in 2010-11 was only for the second half of the year. Milton was, I think, unable to find anything prior to December, so we could extrapolate that out to about 8,000 as an indicative, but certainly based on the following year, that wouldn't be too far from the mark. But from sort of 8,000 through to 28,000, that is purely child entries. Prior to the $1 entry fee, there were a range of fees from a normal child entry. We also had some reduced swim club and also some 10 pass card options. So there were a number of other options in there. And as you'll see, we worked through, and there's a sort of a fairly significant implication. So when we look at the income generated at, and I think I started in 2012 at the $4 entry fee as it was then, and I have extrapolated that out so that it's effectively gone up by 10 cents each of the ensuing years.
So you're saying the column income generated from children's activity is an assumption if the standard entry fee was still being imposed, the original entry fee was being imposed,
the original
with
entry
any escalation or without escalation?
Pardon?
With escalation?
With the incremental, so I worked them all out individually on a year basis, so the 2014, 2015 would have been at $4.30, which was the 10 cents on the previous year at $4.20, and then obviously the saving. So there's a number of factors in there. Obviously the $1 entry fee was introduced significantly, the facilities were significantly enhanced. The following year in 2014-15 we do seem to have had a little bit of a dip. That was only year to date, so that will be a slightly varied. And most of that reduction seems to have happened around Shack. The numbers when we broke them down, Shack has of that sort of dropped from 35 to 28,000, 23% of that at Shack and about 8.6% at Bradwood. So
those figures were for Shack only?
No, they were for
both facilities.
They were both facilities. Yep.
Sorry, just to clarify, on the right-hand column you can see the breakdown between Shack and also the Bradwood Aquatic Centres in the right-hand column. So we've got...
just in the comments section.
Yes, in the comments.
Sorry.
As I said, there were some significant changes. With regard to child entries, presenting some thoughts from the analysis, obviously a very key factor has been the $1 entry. There has been, during that time, a period of increase in population, and that's probably had a subsequent downward trend. Obviously, we have a vastly improved pool facility at South End Aquatic Centre, and we also have heating of the water at South Edmund Aquatic Centre, which has made a significant difference in the winter months, sort of a variation between 4 and 10-fold on what was previously our attendances were in the winter months for obvious reasons. There has been also the intern swimming program, which accounts for about 12,000 entries a year across all of the pools when they're in for 10 days. And the YMCA have had the opportunity to grow their swim school numbers. So there's some factors with regards to memberships, pool entries. Can I just talk about the, and I haven't got a slide specifically on it, family memberships. There was some requested information about family memberships. That is an initiative that the YMCA had presented to council. It is because of the pool situation and then the $1 entry, it's something that hasn't actually progressed anywhere. And so we haven't got anything to analyse that information against. It's not been a level. The YMCA have used that strategy at some of their other facilities. Basically, what it gave the plan. The intention would have been that it would have been two gym memberships, sort of a platinum type style, that then allowed the children to subsequently use that facility. So the other thing is the closure of the aquatic centres. Having spoken to Daryl, the pools have never actually been closed in the time from his time here, in the 8 years that Daryl's been here. We've never had a forced closure through health department requirements or the pools not being able to be swum in. We have had some precautionary closures with regards to some guidance and advice from Pilbara Health, and there has obviously been the times with the cyclonic, the aftermath of the cyclone, but we actually haven't had any forced closures as a result of water quality over the time that Darryl has been around.
So is that a play on words though? Because we closed the pool.
They were precautionary closures, and Vice said we've never actually had an enforced closure. And he felt that was important to him. That was actually and he acknowledges those, but it wasn't. It was at their advice was a closure for a few days, but we've never actually had that time. Yeah, he was fairly keen.
Not sure that's helpful in this scenario because we had closed the pool.
Yeah.
And we just want to know what the cost was, because there's been a cost attributed for this one.
And then just so that there were some questions, and Bill, you obviously raised, so the looking at those two columns, making sure that the proposed budget next year is that 2015-16 column, the 14-15 is the current year budget, and then at that stage it was where the YMCA would project that would finish, and the YMCA have on some columns indicated a year to date, a variance, and that was the difference between the budget and the forecast. So I just make sure that I clarified that. That sort of provides some information to bring people up and respond to those questions from last week.
Sure. Right, with the committee's indulgence, we might thank Graham for his presentation, and perhaps we could go into, if I could have somebody to move into conference, we might talk a little bit about some of the legalities happening around the equipment. Move, Bill?
Yep.
Seconded. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Discussions?
Yep.
Thank you, George. Seconded by the Mayor. All in favour? Yes. Let the record reflect 5 now that Councillor Melville is sitting at the table. Thank you, Anna. Could you let Milton back in? You're going to be shocked.
Should he see this?
Yeah, of course. It's a recommendation.
Okay. So we're still really in the presentation area, so do you want to move back to where the presentation is, rather than putting that on there? Thank you. Thanks, Milton. You'll be happy to know that there was a very focused and concerted discussion around the shack as well as the Wavering facility, so welcome back. Okay, we'll move on to item... we will move into the offices shortly, but before I move in there, just a disclaimer. Members of the public are cautioned against taking any action on committee decisions on items on today's agenda in which they may have an interest until formal notification in writing by the town has been received. Decisions made at this meeting can be revoked pursuant to the Local Government Act of 1995. Okay, page 11. I won't say page, let's just move to item. Okay, page 10. Item 11.1, Town of Port Hedland Leisure Facilities Management Contract Review for May 2015, with the officer's recommendation as listed there, that we, number one, note that the May monthly report as provided by the YMCA. Item 2, note the risk assessment report, attachment 1, prepared by the officers in response to the request made by the Audit and Finance Committee at its meeting on the 22nd of April. And item 3, note the draft budget as presented by the YMCA for the 2015-16 financial year. Are there any points of clarification? Madam Mayor, you had any points?
I'd like to, with the part 3, could we put in whether we note a reduction or a decrease in the wave rider? So whilst we're noting the budget as presented, I think we need to reduce or decrease its value and contribution expected.
So would that be correct term, Director or CEO, budget impact of the wave rider be reviewed both on the income and expense?
Well, the manager has indicated that the expected revenue has been reduced substantially, but it's still sitting at 18.
Still sitting at 18. Considering more than the current year.
I'd put it down to about 3 if you need a figure.
So given its historic performance, are we better to project a lesser income? I might throw that to the representative from the YMCA, if that's okay, CEO.
Certainly.
Sure. Given that it's their budget. Milton?
Yeah, when the budget was essentially put together, you're talking about March, April sort of time frame, and that was before the last lot of issues had happened with the flow rider, or with the wave rider. Where it currently stands, with the more regular scheduled maintenance being carried out by Swimplex, there is confidence that income will be achieved through different programs that are also being run by the South Headland Aquatic Centre manager.
Cool. Thank you.
So I just, based on the draft budget, there's a $20,000 loss for the difference between revenue and expenditure. Mm-hmm. So if that's amortized, you do that by a quarter, even if it was a decision made at the end of the first quarter to do something completely different, there's about a $5,000 cost. And so my concern is still about making sure we do a little bit of homework on this and bring back a proper report based on some legal issues, but based on, you know, whether the supplier is able to provide a functional machine that then can be operational for the majority of the year to give the YMCA the opportunity of, one, operating it and earning some income, or a decision of council to do something else with it.
So first, Madam Chair, I wanted to just put that in there, and happy either way, if that doesn't happen to part 3. But then I did have a part, and I know everyone's worked up about all the parts, but I do have a part about the CEO to seek legal advice and report to council re-wave rider and the recourse legally for the lack of operation of the wave rider, including costs and losses involved. So if you'd like to cut and paste that bit, that could be a new part 4.
Sure. Madam Mayor, with your indulgence, I was calling for points of clarification. So before we move into an alternative recommendation, are there any points of clarification? Because I do have some with regards to questions around the budget. So if we could finish that and come back. Any points of clarification around the budget presented or the officer's report inside of the item at all? Bill, do you have anything?
The loss is 2.7. I mean, that's projected loss, is that right?
2.7, no.
The operating cost.
Oh, the operating cost, okay. My mistake, yeah, okay. One question I did have just on that, you raised in your said that there was an additional cost to the council of $102,000. Why is that totally the council's cost?
When we went to tender, we went to a 4-year agreement, and the council endorsed a budget for 4 years and the operational deficit. The operational deficit is fully funded by the town, so the town does meet that. I think it's just on 2.3 in 15-16.
Yep.
The budget as presented here is actually a $100,000 increase on that deficit at this current time. So what was agreed 4 years ago, the budget as presented for 15-16 in this document is actually a $100,000 increase over. So that's a further, that's an impost on the council that would need to be considered.
If it's accepted by the council.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I thought the deficit was a 50-50.
No, the deficit, the pools operate at, or the three facilities collectively operate at just on $2.2 million deficit and have done over the course of the contract. The 50-50 is if we come in at a better result. So if we actually come in at less than the operational deficit, we collectively share that, we share that advantage with the YMCA on a 50-50 basis. That's not something we have had to been challenged by in the last couple of years. But so it's only if we improve that. So if it came in at 1.5 and therefore we were $700,000 better off for the financial year, we would share that 350 each. And, so that's where that 50-50 comes in.
So just reading through the contract here, item 6.4, sharing operational surplus, right?
Yep.
And I understand that we're talking about a
deficit.
The deficit.
Yep.
Okay. There's a difference there between 6.2 and 6.4 because it does say here net profit or loss position. And I suspect the loss position, you would be meaning that if it was a better loss rather than a worse. Okay.
It was,
right.
it was a better operating position at the end of the year.
Okay.
Effectively. And
understood.
Yeah.
So does that clarify your?
It does. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more, Bill?
So, Bill, when if you're running a business, you talk about profit loss. When we're running local government, we talk about
loss
a deficit
loss.
Or a cost of service.
Someone should take my banker's hat off as I walk in the door.
No, I didn't mean that. Just,
no.
Anywhere else, you just say, no, it's a loss. Oh, it's not a loss, it's the cost of providing a service.
I'm happy to come back to you if you like.
I did have some questions around the contract, but I understand that.
It's probably
pertinent with Milton being here because I think we raised some of these issues at the last week's meeting. So again, under the contract, the contractor needs to provide to us by the 31st of July each year a profit and loss statement, and I'm assuming that it's in house because the contract then.
Sorry, Bill.
Oh, sorry.
It's through the chair. Yep.
Through the chair. The contract. Does, and I'll find the relevant point here, that by the 31st of October there needs to be audited financials provided. So I'm just seeking clarification that we're happy with in-house contractors, in-house management reports. Is that correct or similar to what we're receiving today?
Sure, I'll let the CEO advise that if you've got some management reports.
Yep.
So through you, Madam Chair. Elevating your position too quickly.
Thank
sorry
you.
Through you, Madam Chair. Most not-for-profits and
thank
even
you.
Local governments will produce an end-of-year position
yep.
as early as you can, but then you have to go to the auditor to get the audited financial statements. So with the software packages that most companies, including whatever the YMCA are running, we would be satisfied with that initial report as at the end of July, which should give an indicative closing out of 30 June position.
Yep. Okay.
But until their auditors have done an audit of the financial statement, which may take whatever time that does, we won't be in receipt of it. I think it was suggested about 3 months' time.
Yeah. I think it's October. And at the December meeting, I brought the audited from the previous year. So they come to this committee on an annual basis.
Through the chair again. And I know we touched on this, I think someone asked the question last week, but we received this budget, the 15-16 budgets for YMCA when?
Approximately 2 weeks.
They were late. In
May.
If I can
So, 28th of Feb is the scheduled date.
Yep.
So I just want to put that on the table that, you know, if we're talking about contractual obligations, we should be using that date.
We'll take that as a comment, and that was duly noted last week at the committee meeting. And I'm sure Melbourne will take that back to make sure that the contractual obligations are met and reports provided in a timely and effective manner.
I've talked about annual reports. Do we hold the bank guarantee? Does the council hold the bank guarantee, Madam Chair?
Okay. Yes.
Does that get reviewed annually or at each contractual rollover?
Happy to
provide
advice on that.
Might understand to be a contractual rollover, so it's a term of the contract.
Okay.
If I could note, Chair.
Yes.
I think it was 200,000, the bank guarantee. And we actually went back to council and reduced that by 50%. So there is actually, since the contract was signed, there was actually a reduction. The YMCA felt it was a large impost, and we came back to council, I think, probably in 2013. There was a variation in that. So it was, I think, about 50%. It was 200,000, I think, off the top of my head.
Well, it's got 100,000 in this.
Okay.
So it must be the 2013 contract that we're working with here. Okay.
Thank you, Graham. Bill, you're on?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I might open it to Milton if you have any comments relating to the queries around the report writing and things, if you'd like to make any comments on that, Milton.
In terms of the punctuality of the reports, that has been identified as an issue. And it was raised with me upon taking this position that that was to be a priority to make sure those deadlines were met. Essentially, speaking for what went on before I arrived in the role, that's not something I can do.
Sure. No, appreciate the comments. All right, thank you. I've got a couple of questions relating to that weren't answered in the last year, I guess, and it relates in one particular, and it's just, it can be taken on notice or answered, but I just wondered, looking at the contract, there's a 18.1 regarding cleaning of the facilities and surrounding landscapes. I'm just wondering, to reduce the impact on that, I wondered if the town could consider whether the gardening, which is being attributed, there's gardening and gardening expenses at all of their sites here. I'm wondering whether the town couldn't absorb that as part of its routine, you know, servicing of the facilities, which would then sort of, if we took away those expenses, we're carrying the deficit, that could just be about the amount of the deficit we're carrying. I just want to ask that question.
You're asking me that question?
Yes, CEO, or officer, I'm happy. No, I'm happy if that can be reviewed.
Well, the cost, unfortunately, with our overheads as an organisation, you might find that the cost of us doing that in-house is actually dearer than being done externally. I know the town has provided some support from time to time to the YMCA, but we operate on overheads of, I think, 84%? Around about 84% overhead rate. So for every dollar, there's another 84 cents added in overheads as an organisation. So my experience in other organisations is that it's been cheaper for aquatic centres to go and get the local gardening team or the local contractor to do it in many cases than it has been for local government.
Thank you. Clarified that very well, CEO. Then I'll move on to a second question relating to expenditure, which has been on page 12 of the current agenda. It's in dot point, in the second lot of dot point. It says expenditure has been reduced by $474,197. I was just wondering, could we indicate where the savings have been made, and hopefully it's not in the maintenance program?
I don't have that exact detail with other than going through the projected, the 14-15 budget and picking out those major expenditure improvement areas.
So could we ask representative from YMCA where that might be? Is that appropriate?
You certainly can.
Yeah. Milton?
Again, I'll have to do the same as the CEO and go through that.
I do know, Madam Chair, that maintenance wasn't one of those issues. There were some other areas, and marketing was one, but there was some of my concerns, and I would envisage that would be part of the report that would come back as part of the budget process.
All right, no worries. Just one more question in your 15-16 budget. Just why is there no forecast amounts for adult children and training provided inside of your budget?
For adult children and training?
Inside of the budget. I see that's page 16, but it's page 8. Oh, okay, I apologise because I'm actually reading questions from my previous aquatic aerobics income. Okay, so it's page 16. Aquatic top shack. Aquatic program income.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the subtitles are actually beneath that. So you've got your adult, child, and training with their totals.
Yep.
And they are the subtitles. There's no total actually written down.
I'm sorry, am I missing something?
No, that forms part of, those three figures form part of the 243 050. Is that what your question was?
In a similar way to salaries beneath it, under expenditure, there's no total there for salaries, but they're actually made up of the eight or so parts beneath it.
Okay.
It's a heading within. Is a heading within the budget?
I think the question for the presiding member is, if you look at page 16 and you look at aquatic program income, $0 against adults in the 15-16 budget.
Oh, yeah.
So does that assume there is no adult aquatic programs?
I'm wondering if some of your savings might be because you're dropping programs as well. That's the root of my question.
It's not that we're dropping programs. The projected for this year, this financial year, would be zero as well. The programs that we've identified to run next year are things along the lines of basic programs that aren't chargeable. So you pay your entry fee and you might do a lap swimming club. So swim 10K tonight, we give you a point and we'll get some of those points at the end of the year. That style of program where there's no additional charge on top of the entry fee.
And the last question I had is, one of your recommendations is to drop the swim school program.
Swim school program. Swim school program coordinator.
Coordinator. Can I ask why? Are we stopping the program?
We're not stopping the program. No. The current duties of the swim school program coordinator is being captured by the shack manager and within the shack manager role. That's more effective because she is there all the time, so she's able to answer questions and taking that all the time.
So it's an efficiency, not a...
Correct.
Beautiful, thank you. Are there any other points of clarification?
I just got a Madam Chair.
Yes, Councillor De Cash.
And I know 4 or 5 years ago, shack did not have housing supplied, but on page 12 down the bottom, it says, the question is asked, why is the housing cost $187,200 being maintained given the YMCA owner on accommodation charging staff $150 per week? Has that been answered at all?
Yes, Councillor De Cash, I am happy to say that at the last meeting last week, when we had the discussion, one of the items was around housing, a matter of contract and a formula attributed by the town. Contracts were first negotiated. Just getting some clarification, I don't think we can actually revisit that until another period, is that
right? Sorry, Madam Chair, the contract had, the global amount, or the englobo amount of the contract was formulated including some concessions for housing. But the housing concession isn't articulated to say it's for one house, two houses, it's for this person or that person. So it's just enrolled to suggest that there had to be some support for housing in a remote location, such as Port Hedland.
So is this figure same?
The
draft budget has a revised figure, reduced figure, but it doesn't mean that's a saving to the budget. So the YMCA, through their englobo amount, are reallocating some of those funds to other parts of the business.
So cutting one and expanding in others.
So in answer to your question, the amount negotiated is the amount negotiated. Doesn't account for any downturn in rental expenses or anything, or reflect any savings to the town. It is what it is until the town decides that should be revisited. So if you're requesting for that item to be revisited, you can. But as part of the current negotiations, it is what it is. Am I right in saying that?
That's part of the contract. It's just how YMCA breaks down their budget.
Yep.
If the Office of Recommendation is asking why, then I suppose we've got to ask why and ask questions. If it's why, I mean, if this is it, then but why is it quite open to discuss it?
Sure. So would it be a question that you would like to ask the officers to investigate how we can revisit that amount allocated as part of the contract?
I would like to see it. Yes.
It is part of the contract.
The minutes can reflect that.
Yep.
The minutes can actually reflect. Perhaps we need to actually change that rather than questions.
Yep.
Provide some clarification around it.
Cool. Are you happy with that, Councillor?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No worries. Okay. If there's no other points of clarification, I note that Madam Mayor has an alternative recommendation which she'd like to put for support.
Can we bring that up?
No. Step through it.
Okay.
So we don't frighten everyone. So Grace, don't go down there, stay up there. So first, note the draft budget as presented by the YMCA.
So can I note a reduction or anything about the wave rider? That's what I was trying to do before.
Sure.
Can we note that it's anticipated that there will be a reduction in the wave rider?
Sure. We might find the words through the CEO about the wave rider in particular. CEO?
So, Madam Chair, what I'd suggest is that as we're forming up our own budget, this will form part of that budget. It will give us time to actually ask some of those questions of legal and other issues and provide that in the in our final budget.
All right.
Because this is obviously the YMCA's draft budget, and I just think the town needs a little bit of background work on that.
Okay.
That will also give us that opportunity to take legal advice, but also talk to the principal sponsor.
Okay, so can I do a new part four that is request the CEO to seek legal advice and report back to council re the wave rider and recourse or recourse opportunities for lack of operation of the wave rider, including costs and losses involved? Yeah, so that's that four. If you just quickly cut and paste that before people get frightened, quickly take it away. Yep. Quickly cut it out and put it up there. I'm adjusting the original. Just put that number four put it
down there.
It's there? Okay, great. Whack that there. All right, so we don't... Sorry, I was worried we're frightening people. Okay. Now can I have a new five requesting the CEO to talk to sponsor... the sponsor organisation associated with the Wave Rider to let them know of the issues of the Wave Rider availability and associated costs and to work towards an outcome being presented back to council from those discussions with the sponsor organisation. Ready?
Could, through the chair, could I respectfully request that I take that on notice as distinct from putting it in as a recommendation.
You sure? Why? What's the benefit of that?
I'm just thinking of the potential damage rather than the benefit.
Right.
To be able to have that discussion offline.
This was some of the fear. All right, quickly cut it off before anyone sees it. Now, the next one then. If a new number
like
five.
A surgeon in a rush.
Number five. Request the CEO to explore... the contract extension obligations of the current contract and report back to council on options going forward beyond the 30th of June 2016. Everyone's okay?
Yeah.
Not frightened? Good.
Yeah.
All right. Then could we possibly have new number six. Request the CEO to investigate retractable shade options for Shack for inclusion, possible inclusion in the 15-16 budget. All right, so I'll just leave it at that then, so it doesn't frighten me. Would anyone like to second any advice?
Item six is...
Well, just that, and sure, Milton would support me in that, that the current shade we have, and particularly for cyclone arrangements, I'm not saying we have to budget it all in one hit, but we need to look at shade options because it's currently OH&S and very difficult to get that shade up and down. It's actually not an Australian standard sort of thing.
Through the chair, I thought it was.
It's very, very bad. We get backpackers to pull it down in cyclone time, yes. So we must, we've upgraded that facility, we must look at something.
So could we just, with your
for possible
with your indulgence, request the CEO to investigate retractable shade options.
For consideration.
Yes. And
possible
and
for cost to the...
Consideration.
Yeah. We're just going to start looking at it. It's actually a very important issue that we should be looking at.
Are you, we talking about for consideration? So you're wanting it in this
it.
Financial
well, it's
year?
It's an option.
Yeah, okay. That's
just
fine.
Think about it.
Just...
So if we never start thinking about it, if we never start costing it, then we'll never think about it. We never
so
do it.
Shade options and cost, could we have that, please?
But just for the chair, if I could, just for the people know, we have spent, and the last month or so a considerable amount of money on Shade at Shack, just so that, and those projects, we actually got $30,000 from Department of Sport and Recreation, and we have extended a large amount of that to some Shade, so you will see.
Make sure you let the CEO know so he knows.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So just so you know, there has been, we have had some money, and
we're very conscious of
the Shade.
Just for clarity's sake, are we talking about the replacement option of the current Shade that's used?
We've done a fantastic job here at Gratwick, and now we have a below par option, and it's very difficult. We get backpackers to take it down in cyclone season.
Great. All right, so if you're happy with that, I have a seconder.
I just want to make sure everyone knows what you're doing.
There's 5-6 points up there that are pretty clear.
Just to be quite clear, in terms of the South Island Aquatic Centre budget, line item 2 on page 18,
is
a doubling of the child income from child entry. So that's a second discussion.
But we've just noted it. That has to go down.
But it's not, I mean, seem to be trying to sneak it through.
Yeah.
So there's still got to come to council, still got to be considered in amongst everything else.
Yeah, it's just noted. To put forward that they are in the draft
budget. Yeah, no, I'm just letting you know. I'm comfortable.
We can talk about that.
Being comfortable?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm comfortable.
If you're comfortable, we're all comfortable.
Through
the chair. Madam Mayor's smiling, so we're all happy.
The CEO's comfortable and you're comfortable. Can I second it?
Yes, I've already noted that you have been seconded. Those against the recommendation, let the record reflect 5-6 in favour of the alternative recommendation made by Madam Mayor. Thank you very much. Okay, folks, moving on to, I think that's been the only item, we move on to the last page, which is page 24, late items as permitted by presiding member of the committee. There are nil. Item 13, motions of which previous notice have been given, nil again. Item 14, confidential items, we have nil. Item 15, applications for leave of absence for the next Audit and Finance Committee meeting, which is to be held when we have determined the date. I think we did determine the date last that was today. Do we need to determine a date for the next one?
We don't have to set one today.
So, is it possible that we can say to be confirmed and to be determined and confirmed with all committees? Is that okay? Are we happy with that? All right. So, in that case, since we don't know the date, we can't apply. We'll assume there's nil applications for leave of absence. And item 16, then we'll be on that basis too, we'll assume that there's nil telephone instantaneous attendance by telephone and instantaneous communication. Moving to item 17, closure. And we will confirm the date, 17.1, we will confirm the date of the next meeting by email. So 17.2, closure. With there being no further business, I will declare the meeting closed at 2:41 p.m. and thank